Welcome to the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly continues our series, The Gospel. Now prepare your heart for a life-changing message.
Okay, I have something very exciting today. I really do. There's a guy in our church. Some of you know him, some of you don't. There's a guy in our church, and he's like the number two guy at a car dealership here in town. It's a East Coast Honda, Volkswagen, whatever. That's not a plug, but check them out. anyway, seriously, we've never been able to do anything like this before. I don't know if we're able to do it again, but we're going to do it right now. Today, we're going to be able to. We're giving we're giving something away. You ready to show them? We're giving this away today. What? We're giving this away today. Hello? When Oprah says it, people go crazy. We're giving this away. Thank you. My backstage folks went crazy. We really are. I don't know how we got to do it, but we are. We're giving this away. And so we found out in the middle of this week we could give this away. And basically what we did is Eric and TJ kind of sat down and we just kind of tried to do a random drawing of who to give to. We didn't know how to do it. And so anyway, what we did is Eric and TJ kind of thought about it, and they kind of picked like people who tried to get different groups of people, put them in a pot, started up. Anyway, they've given me the number, they give me the name, and I've got it somewhere. Oh, it's right here. Who wants to win, by the way? I got a few people. Well, we're going to see who wins in a minute. Here we go. All right, here's the name. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. This is awesome. The guy who just won, I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I'm kind of doing the Ryan Seacrest thing. I'll tell you after the break. The guy who just won, he and his family have been at Wellspring for a while. Really, I think since the very first week, he's an awesome guy. And, you know, I think they'll enjoy this. I think they could use this. Here, give it up for Ronnie Parker. Ronnie Parker just won. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right, see if it'll work. See if you can grab it. All right, Ronnie, did this ever cross your mind that we would be giving this away today?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Do you like being up here?
I mean, no, not really.
Yes.
But I do like that.
All right, what will you do with this?
Replace the 202,000 mile Suburban.
You mean of that?
I'll replace my old Suburban with that. Yeah.
Oh, well, let me give you this, and there may have been some confusion. That's what I'm giving you.
Is that the certificate that I redeem? Do I redeem that at the dealership? Or?
No, that is that. I said I was giving you that.
Right.
That is what this is. Dude, did you think I was giving away a car?
I mean, I did. I was hoping you would.
Did I ever say I was giving away a car? Did the word car ever come out of my mouth? I said I was giving away that. That's an awesome picture. This is printed on an HP DeskJet, baby. This is awesome, good stuff.
Yeah.
That's Are you good. Sad right now?
I'm disappointed.
Your little heart was all happy, and now you get this, right?
That's not good.
All right. Will you let me off the hook right now?
Yes. I was in on the joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. He knew. Thank you. Thanks, Ronnie. Say thank you to Ronnie Parker. All right. Good job, man. Good job. Way to go. Shoot, man, I ain't giving away no car. We meet in a middle school. Crazy people. Seriously, if we could give away a car, we'd be meeting here. Now, why would on earth would I have done that, right? To try to get everyone in the room to hate me. No. Here's why I did it. If you go back and listen to the tape, which it's being taped, you can watch it. I never said the word car, ever. Never. I never said you could ride in it. I never said you could drive in it. I literally pointed to a picture and said, I'm giving away that. And those of you in the room who believed me, and I don't think most of you did, but you assumed that what I was promising was more than I actually was. You assumed that what I was giving away had more value than it actually did. Now, the reason we did all that today is this. I believe that many of us in this room are chasing things, trusting in things, working towards things because we assume they have this amazing value. And they don't. And they never even claimed to. You just assumed they did. You have assumed that the pictures you've seen are true contentment and happiness. And if you can just get those things, you're going to experience the life you've always dreamt of. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is you're going to keep chasing those things. And when you find them, you're going to realize it wasn't a car. It was simply a picture. It was an ideal. It was an idea you had of what you thought was going to make you happy. And you're going to be just as disappointed as Ronnie Parker was when he couldn't replace his 200,000-mile Suburban. That is a lot of miles, dude. Wow. Maybe we do need to take up an offering for him. Get a little blessing on you. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It's John 15. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus goes out of his way to talk about this very issue. Where he goes out of his way to talk about the real thing and the cheap imitations of the real thing. And here's the beauty of the passage we're going to talk about today. It really does have the power in it to transform your life, if you let it. And the other cool thing about the passage today is there's something in it for everybody. For everybody. If you're in the room today, and you have been a Christ follower for 15 years, you've been walking, you've been serving, you've been trying to figure him out, you read your Bible pretty regularly, you try to serve, there's something in here for you today. There really is. If you're here today, and you would say, man, I've tried to give this God guy a shot, but I feel far from him. I can't really hear from him. I can't relate. I don't know if it's working. Perfect. There's something here for you today. If you're here because somebody forced you to come, these people have been inviting you to come to this church for a month, and finally to shut them up, you just decided, I'll go 1 week so they'll leave me alone, and now you're sitting there mad because I fooled you about the giveaway. God has something to say to you today. You think you were drugged here. What you don't know is that this is a divine appointment with the God of the universe. And he's been orchestrating your steps for weeks, if not months, to make sure you're sitting right here so that you can hear this message, so that he can move through it to transform your life. So just get ready for it. I'm going to keep it very, very simple today in this passage. Very simple. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going to do three things. I feel like my pastor growing up. He always had 3 points. I have three things. Today I'm going to give you a word of truth. I'm going to give you a word of warning. And a word of encouragement. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Word of truth, word of warning, and a word of encouragement. John 15 is where we're going to start. This is a pretty cool dynamic going on in the life of Jesus and his disciples. For any of you who are familiar with the story of Jesus, he spent his last night before he was arrested and put on trial and eventually crucified on a Friday afternoon. He spent it with his best friends in the world. He hung out with these 12 guys that we called his disciples, and he taught them things, and he's just finished dinner with them. If any of you have grown up in church and have ever taken communion, the Last Supper is a remembrance of their last meal that they had together. And what they're doing now is they've left that meal and they're walking to Jesus' favorite place to pray. They have no idea what's about to happen. He does. But they have no idea what's next. They have no idea he's about to be arrested, put on trial, spit upon, lied about, beaten and ultimately nailed to a tree. They have no idea, but he does. And as he goes, he's walking through a grape vineyard. And he decides to start talking to them and preparing them for what's going to happen. They don't know, but he does. And here's what he says. Here's what he says is kind of some of his last words on earth, some of the last things he wants them to remember about him. The very first thing he says, John 15:1, he says, he looks at them square in the eye and he says, I, Jesus, am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Now we read that and we think that sounds weird. He is a grapevine. That doesn't make any sense. Well, that's because we're not first century Jews. Are you? Anybody? Didn't think so. None of us are first century Jewish people. For them, the grapevine was a very, very sacred thing. This would have been a shocking statement for Jesus to say, I am the vine. See, all throughout the Old Testament, prophets and God and had basically told the nation of Israel, they had used a picture for them and told, kind of made them feel like they were the vine. What that means is they were the source of life. They were the source of hope for the world, basically. They thought that whatever God was going to do, he was going to do through them. They felt so strongly about the vine that they kind of adopted it as their logo. They used it on their currency. It was very important to them. They felt like that all you had to do to be right with God and to kind of have a good life was to connect with them. You got to get in on the nation of Israel. You got to come to temple. You got to adopt our customs, which if you were an adult male was scary. Some of you know what I mean. But that was really what they thought, and they really truly thought they were the vine. And now here's Jesus talking to his people, and he says, nope, I am the vine. He's saying, I am the source of life. To the nation of Israel, he is saying, I am the source of life, and you are not. This turned the religious world up on its head. This is why he was killed, because the religious leaders didn't like some guy saying, you can connect to God through me. They really liked the fact that they kind of ran the system. They made up the rules. They ran the church on Sunday morning, and they basically said, maybe you've heard this before, if you follow these certain rules, if you do a couple of things, if you attend church more than you miss, boom, you're in, you're good, you're golden. You're right with God. You're a part of the vine. You have life the way it's supposed to be lived. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. I'm the vine, and you're not. And I still think Jesus wants to say that today, because I'm sure there's many of us in the room that were taught the way to be good with God is just to show up a couple of Sundays a month, more than you miss, or at least 50%, 50-50, you're good. Be a nice person. Throw some coin to charity every now and again. Don't lie too much about your neighbors. Stick up for somebody every once in a while. And then you can stamp yourself with a good person, and I'm in. And what Jesus would look at us and say, he would look at churches today, he would look at maybe even denominations today, and he would say, no, I am the vine, and you are not. He would look at Wellspring Church, and he would say, I am the vine, and you are not. If you are at Wellspring Church today because you think showing up here connects you to God, well, I'm glad you're here because I'm going to try to pour some truth on you. But it doesn't work. Now, don't get me wrong. I love church. I've dedicated my life to church. I think church is the conduit through which we encounter God. I think church is the conduit through which God moves into the world. But we can never confuse the two. We can never confuse church with Jesus because Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the source of life. The church is not. That's the first truth he's trying to pour out today is to say that. Now, the second thing he's trying to say, and this is even more important than the first, Jesus says, I am the true vine. See, Jesus felt the need to make the point, I am the true vine. That means he was aware that there were some fake vines. There were some fake things out there people were chasing, thinking they were the source of life. This is why we did the opening illustration. This is why we did the opening thing. Because there are a lot of things out there, as I said at the top, that I think people are chasing, that I think people are putting their hope in. They are believing will deliver something. that not only can it not deliver, but that it never even promised. So I'll ask you, just in a moment of honesty, just between me and you, nobody's looking. What is it in your life right now, if you were to close your eyes and you were to say, I'm counting on this to give me peace, to give me joy, to give me security, to give me safety, to give me contentment, to make me happy. These are the things I'm working towards that I think are going to ultimately result in my life being better. A couple of things. Your job, maybe. A lot of people put some faith in that job. If I just get the right job, then my life's going to be better. Then I'm going to be happier. Then I'm going to be more content. Then I'm going to be more fulfilled. Then I can worry about all these other things. If I just have kids, if I could just find a man, right? I'll speak for the male species. We can't do it. So please don't try to make us. But what is it? What is it that gives you comfort and hope? For a lot of people, it's money. For other people, they're just chasing pleasure. They're just chasing whatever makes them feel good. Others are just chasing success. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I do mean it. None of those things are bad things. They're not. It's not bad to be successful. It's not bad to have a ton of money. It's not bad to enjoy life. In fact, we were created to enjoy life. Those aren't bad things. Hear me. They are just terrible gods. Because we are looking at a picture, and we're expecting that picture to deliver reality. And it can't. And it never will. And it never said it would. We just assumed. We just thought, that looks good, I'll chase that. Have you ever gotten the thing you chased? Have you ever dreamt about a car for a while, and when you got it, how long did it actually make you happy? Seriously. Are we talking weeks here? If you're a real freak and never parked near anybody and parked in the back of the parking lot and washed it every day, maybe it lasted a month and a half to 2 months, but it eventually got a dent. And then it got two dents. And then somebody ate in the car, and then it smelled like French fries for a month. And you can't figure out. I just thought that when I got this car, I'd be so happy. It's because you were chasing a picture. Reality is Jesus. And he says, I'm the true vine. I am the source of life. Nothing else has ever or will ever work. That is as straightforward as I know how to say it. And that's the word of truth for today. Here's the word of warning. Let's keep going. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Now we enter the uncomfortable portion of the passage. What Jesus is saying is, if you are not connected to me, if you are not connected in a vital relationship with the Son of the universe, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you are not chasing the true source of life, you run the danger of being cut off. And so obviously the first question is, okay, well, how do I know if I am connected to the vine? I don't know if I'm connected to Christ. Some of you have no illusions about that, you know. Others of you, you would ask the question, how do I know? It's very simple. The Bible says it right there. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. So if we are connected to the vine, which makes sense, if we're connected to the vine, we're a branch, and if the vine is growing, we're going to grow, we're going to produce fruit. What is fruit? What does that look like? Galatians 5:22 tells us, says this, says, the Holy Spirit produces all kinds of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And everyone in the room's like, crap, I ain't a Christian then. Not all at the same time. Not all at the same time. But here's what you need to hear today. As a Christ follower, as someone who does say, I've given my life to him and I'm connected to him, absolutely, he should be moving through us to transform us to make us more like him. We should be changing. So here's my warning today. It's twofold. My warning one is for those of you in the room today who have no illusions about your relationship with God. Again, you're here because somebody drug you here. You're here because a kid wanted you to show up. You're just here to bide your time, knock out your hour, and you're going to go watch NFL. That's all. And you're still mad about the car giveaway. Forgive me. Here's what I say to you today. I am so glad you're here. Wellspring was designed for you. I encourage you to just take it in. All right? And I beg you, from the bottom of my heart, to just open your mind just a little bit. Look at the people around you. Lives have been changed here. Just open yourself up just a little bit to the possibility that this God might be real. I'm not saying you got to buy in today. You know? I ain't saying you got to get baptized next week. I'm just saying open yourself up a bit. Dip your toe in. Be open. Check it out. You kind of like that music. You don't want to admit it, but it kind of sounded good. You kind of felt yourself starting to groove to the music. And you're like, what am I doing? I got to stop. No. You got to give it away, man. You got to give yourself to the music. Right? You got to feel a little rhythm. Now, just open yourself just a little bit because it's not on me. I'm not going to change anything. What's going to transform you is the God of the universe touching your heart. And that pull you're feeling, that interest, that, I don't know, I've never thought about it this way before. That's not me, that's Him. That's Him doing everything possible to have a relationship with you. So I beg you to consider the true source of life. Now, there's a second group of people I want to briefly warn today. And it's the people in the room who know the game. You know the drill. Maybe you were brought up in church. Maybe you've attended church. You know a lot about God. Many of you, at some point in your life, even walked that aisle. Went down front, shook somebody's hand, prayed a prayer. Maybe you even got dunked. Maybe you got sprinkled. Maybe you got confirmed. Maybe you got that. I don't know what you got. But there was a point in your life where you did something. And you've been banking on that. That's been your fire insurance. And what I would just challenge you to do today is to consider Jesus' words here. If your life does not reflect that you are connected to the vine, if your life does not reflect a relationship with Jesus, I'm not talking about perfection here. Ask my wife. I ain't close to perfect. I'm just talking about different. Nobody's perfect, but we can all get better. We can all be changed. If the God of the universe is not actively moving in your life, changing you, refining you, bringing you closer to Him and making you more like Him so that others see it. That's the beauty of fruit, man. Fruit's external, not internal. I tell you, according to Jesus' words, you run the risk of being cut off, because I say today with all humility in my heart, but I have to stand on the truth, if Jesus ain't changing your life, it's because you don't know Jesus. And that is truth from the God of the universe. And to you today who know the words, but who don't have it here, who He's not changing from the inside out, I tell you today, you as well run the risk of being cut off. Because Jesus does not look at our words, He looks at our actions, because our actions reflect our heart, not our words. We can say whatever we want. It's pretty hard to act what's not in your inside. Jesus didn't say, I was going to cut off every branch you didn't say the right thing, walk that aisle, get dunked one time in the ocean. Jesus said He's going to cut off every branch that does not produce fruit. I love you with all my heart. And I will stand before God one day and be accountable for what I say to you on this stage. And so I must tell you the truth. If the God of the universe is not actively changing your life, it's because you don't know Jesus and you need to connect to the vine. That's the warning. Now, Let's get happy. Here's my encouragement. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Quickly, I want to speak to the folks in the room who you feel like you've been cut off a lot. You're like, Jesus not only cut me off, he kicked me out. And you don't get it. Because you are trying, man. No, you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you're trying. You're praying. You're serving. You're doing what you can. And you don't get it. Because in the meantime, you've lost a job. And you're like, what's this? And you're praying hard and you don't really feel like God's talking back. Maybe you've lost a relationship or two and you can't really figure out where that relationship went. And you're struggling. You feel like you've been cut off. Hear me today. God has not cut you off. He is simply cutting away. He's pruning you. Because that's what he says he will do. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. I don't begin to know how and why the God of the universe is working, but I do know this. If you have a relationship with him and if you are seeking to hear from him, he is working in your life. That relationship you lost, he might have cut it away because he had to prepare you to go further, faster, and do more things. That job you just lost, you can't figure it out. He may be preparing you for a different job that's going to better position you to do what's next. I don't know, but I know this. Pruning is not always a painless process. Sometimes painful things have to be cut away. But even though it's not a painless process, it is always a productive process when the gardener knows what he's doing and your gardener is the God of the universe who loves you, who created you, who has a special thing for you and wants nothing more than to use you to change the world. So if things are be cutting away, baby, I want you on your knees saying, praise God, you're cutting away because I know you're about to do a big thing through me. That's my encouragement. And somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody's here and you were thinking, this was it. You were ready to give up on God because you thought he let you down. No. He's just pruning you. He's just preparing you to do more for him than you can possibly imagine. That's what it said. It said he prunes us so we can produce more fruit. So we can get ready for what's next. All we got to do in the meantime is hang in. Is just trust. Just remain. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. The pruning's got a purpose. It's to get things out so more God can get in. To prepare you for the life he promises in John 10:10 where he says, the thief, the enemy, that's Satan. That's the guy that hates your guts and wants to destroy your life. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come. I have come that you may have life. You may have life to the fullest. That you may have abundant life. As a bunch of fruit. Abundant life. That is the promise of living a life connected to the vine, connected to Christ. So if we remain in him, if we keep trusting in Jesus, a bunch of fruit. If we continue to live our lives not connected to the vine, even though we think we are, if he's not changing our life, we ain't connected. If we continue to do that, if we don't bear fruit, that means we produce nothing. Nobody wants their life to amount to nothing. No one. Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. It is the most popular nonfiction book in the history of the world. And I'm not in any way believing everybody who bought that book is a Christian. They bought it because they wanted purpose, because every human being desires purpose. And apart from Christ, apart from life in him, you produce nothing. Your life is meaningless. And you want to push back and say, whoa, whoa, whoa now. That's a little strong. Well, here's what Jesus says, 15:5. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we want to say, that's a ridiculous statement, Jesus. Because I'm apart from you and I do plenty of things. I have built a successful business. I have raised a family that doesn't hate each other. I give to charity. I have seen the faces of the children I made possible for them to have a Christmas. Don't you tell me I've done nothing. I'm making a difference. And here's what Jesus would say back to you with love in his heart. He would say, yeah, you're right. Those things are true. But I'm talking about eternal. I'm talking about long term. Because see, I'm God, and that's how I think. I think long term. I think forever. And here's the problem. In the end, apart from a relationship with Christ, apart from being connected to that vine, it all adds up to nothing. And that's because of what awaits those of us that aren't connected to the vine. John 15:6 says this, anyone who does not remain in me, anyone who's not connected to me, anyone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus at the end is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. I do not like preaching this. I will tell you right now. But I will stand before God one day and be accountable for did I tell you the truth or not, and I must tell you the truth. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Folks, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we are not connected to the vine, if we are not being changed by Him through the inside out, the eternity that awaits us is not pretty. Jesus says it's a destination of being cut off, gathered into a pile, burn. That's not something to play with. And I'm not going to jump around. I'm not going to do that because that would just feed into the thoughts of some of you who think I want to manipulate you into making an emotional decision right now. That is the farthest thing from my heart, because then you'll just have more fire insurance and nothing will change. But what I must do is present to you the truth. And this is the truth. Jesus Christ is the source of life and the hope of the world. Period. The only way we can live the life He wants us to live, the only way we can find joy, peace, contentment, happiness, is to stop chasing the pictures that won't deliver and to start trusting in Jesus. Period. When we do that, He will begin to change us from the inside out. Daily, weekly, monthly, year by year, we will find ourselves becoming more like Him, thinking more of others and less than ourselves, wanting to share Him with others, wanting to learn Him, wanting to serve Him, wanting to learn about Him, wanting to work for Him. That is fruit. That is a sign of life. And if your life does not exhibit that, that is not a good thing. Because it means no matter what you've told yourself in your head, your heart doesn't lie, you are not connected to Christ. And you, my friends, run the danger of being cut off. And apart from Jesus, yes, you will spend eternity separated from Him in a real place called hell. Those are the facts. My prayer today is that you do something about those facts. It's why you're here. You didn't know why you drove on campus this morning, but Jesus did. Because He's been waiting on you. He's been standing at the window, staring out, hoping, talking to other people. He's coming home today. I know it. This is it. This is the day. And the angels have kind of, because they don't know the future, they've kind of gotten a little sick of it. Jesus, quit talking about that person. Dude, I saw him last night at Broadway. They ain't coming home. And Jesus is like, I can't give up on them. They're mine. I paid the ultimate price for them. I've done all these things. I've had friends invite them. They've had friends in their life, and they have seen what I've done in their life. I'm telling you, man, this is the day. This is it. This is it. And some of you, you don't want to do it because, one, you have to admit you're wrong, and two, you're afraid that coming in means, boom, God's going to jump on you. He's going to pound you. He's going to beat you up. See, if we give our lives to Jesus, that means we're connected to the vine. That means we are connected to Jesus. And there's a reason in Romans it tells us, hear this freedom. There is therefore no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that means? That means if you give your life to Jesus now, there is no condemning. There is no I told you so. There is no it's about time. There's a party in heaven, and you're the guest of honor, and all they're going to do is rejoice because you came home today. I beg you to stop chasing the picture because it'll let you down, and start trusting in the source of life. Start today. It's a process, and we will be here to walk with you every single step of it, because it'll radically transform your life. But you're going to need help. That's why we're here. But you have to make the decision today. You have to acknowledge, I'm not connected and I need to be. So here's my prayer right now. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And what I'm going to do, as I've done the last 2 weeks, is I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to pray a prayer to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing magical about the prayer. It's simply an acknowledgement before God that He's right and you're not, that He is a source of life and none of those other things are, and that you are going to ultimately live for Him for the rest of your life here on earth so that you can spend eternity with Him later. If you were here today and you would say, yes, my life does not reflect a relationship with Christ, and I want it to. I am not connected, and I want to be. I've been chasing false things. I want to chase the real thing. Then I ask you to pray in your heart with me right now as I pray aloud. Father, I have been chasing wrong things. I have believed the myth that they could make me happy, that they could make me content, that they could give purpose and meaning to my life. Father, forgive me, because those are bad, those are great things, but you are the only God. So starting today, I want to live my life for you. I want to be connected to you through your Son, Jesus. I want to know what real life feels like. I admit I've made mistakes. I can't do it on my own. And I surrender my life to you. I invite you into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive me for my mistakes and lead me on this next step in my life. I commit my life to you. Show me what true life really is. Now, two things I want you to do if you just prayed that prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, stay down. Number one, I want you to acknowledge it to me. This is simply a public acknowledgement of what God's done in your heart. And it's very simple. I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air. I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to be nervous that somebody might feel you raise your hand. You are publicly proclaiming what just happened in your heart. Heaven's going crazy right now. And we are going to as well. So here's what I want to do. When I count to three, just raise your hand. Shoot it up in the air as a public declaration of what has happened in your heart. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hands. Just shoot them up in the air. Keep them going. Keep them going. Shoot it up. Shoot it up. There you go. Keep them going. We still got more hands going up. Keep them going. There we go. Keep them going. Come on. I don't know what you're afraid of. The God of the universe is having a party. Just let us know what's happening in your heart. All right. I want everybody to look at me. You can put your hands down. A lot of hands went up there. But I think God is doing even more. I really do. I think God wants to move in your heart. I really believe it. So here's what I'm going to ask every single person in the room to do. If you have a connection card, wave it at me right now. Let me see the connection cards. Let me see your connection card, because here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to fill that card out and listen to me today. Listen to me. Don't look around. Don't think about it. Listen to me. If the God of the universe touched your heart today, if you want to begin a relationship with him today, if you even have questions about it today, I want you to fill that card out. There's a box there that says, I became a Christ follower today. Check that box. Don't you leave here without checking it. I'm telling you right now, do it. Check that box. And then as soon as we dismiss, we've got a group of folks. Everybody turn around and look in the back. They're going to wave at you right now because they're really nice. There they are. There's Eric and Awesome. They have on these awesome shirts called New You, okay? And they're going to be right there on both sides of the exit. I want you to take your connection card to them. They have a gift for you. They're not going to do anything weird and talk to you for 20 minutes, I promise. They want to give you something to help you start this process. And oh, by the way, they had their eyes open, so they know if you raise your hand anyway. So they're going to grab you either way. So don't you leave here without bearing your very first piece of fruit, without just taking a simple step of obedience and saying, all right, I would have never done this before, but I'm a new person now. God's changed my life now, so I'm going to fill this card out and hand it to a stranger. Do it. I beg you. Turn it in. We have a gift for you. It'll help you get on the right path. It'll help you get started. And let's run this journey together. This is your chance to experience true life. Heavenly Father, I pray right now your spirit will fall down. And that those in the room who are dealing with you will deal with you. Father, I pray you give them the strength to fill out that card, to turn it in, to get this gift, Father, so that we can begin the process of helping them enjoy the rest of their life. We do it for you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing us at amen@wellspringchurch.tv. If you would like to support our ministry, click on giving at our website, wellspringchurch.tv. Wellspring meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Myrtle Beach Middle School.